It's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. Krista Parravani and her sister, Kara, were identical twins. And then, when they were 28, they were no longer together. Kara died of a drug overdose. Krista spiraled into depression. As Krista Parravani explores in her new memoir, Her, what the two women shared was a bond of sisterhood that went beyond blood into the elliptical world of twinhood, inhabiting one shared soul. Both were artists, one a writer, the other a photographer. Both married early. Both lived through a hardscrabble childhood with a troubled mother. Her is the story of what happened to Krista Parravani before and after the death of a twin, both beloved and impossible.
Everyone that knew my sister always said the same thing about her, and they said, she was a good girl. By the way, they never said that about me. They always said that about Kara. She was a complicated and also impossible woman, as you had mentioned, yeah.
28 when she died.
She was 28 when she overdosed, yeah.
The undertaking of this book, the two of you are together on the page here, but you really had been so together in this sort of isolated childhood. Tell me about this doubling. Is it impossible to remember how long ago you felt like that? Was it from the beginning that you did?
It was from the beginning. There's a way in which people just respond to you as one person. You're the girls.
Identical twins.
Identical twins. Yeah. As a result, we actually remembered things that happened to our twin that happened to us. Or wait, does that make sense?
Yes, I think it does.
Yeah.
So it isn't happening just to one person. It's
yeah. I mean, I am very sure that I kissed Chad Taylor, for example, but I know for sure that Kara kissed Chad Taylor.
This is the first kiss.
Yes,
you're 13
this was Kara's first kiss when she was 13 years old. And she told me with such gusto that I can tell you that I did it myself.
When you open this book, Krista Parravani, this great diversion in your lives take place after all those years of twinning. And maybe you could talk about that. And that is this terrible attack on your sister. She's about 24.
She had just moved to a small town in Massachusetts to begin her graduate studies in creative writing. And one afternoon, she went out and walked her dog in a park near her home, and she met a man in the woods, and he raped her, and it was a many hours attack. She emerged a changed woman, and I think that she was surprised that she survived that attack. And in a way, she felt that she hadn't survived, that she'd left part of herself on the forest floor that day.
And it leaves her psychologically really damaged, deafened in one ear, as you say, never quite the same person.
Honestly, writing the scene, I tried to write that rape for 6 weeks in this book. I tried my hardest to inhabit that space for my sister. And this miraculous thing happened. I went to visit my mom's house, and I decided that I was going to go upstairs and spend some time with my sister's things. And I sat down, and I looked under her bed, and there was this Tupperware, and I pulled it out, and inside of it was this notebook that my sister had left behind with the complete account of her rape. And I was really grateful to have it and to be able to publish it in the book that way. And because I had felt at that moment, too, and that we had been so separated and that I couldn't understand what she had been through, it was a magical experience, really, to be able to have her to deliver that to me.
There's this really redeeming moment, if you will, when after this terrible day, she's gone to the hospital, she's been released, you actually are giving her a bath. It's like a new baptism almost.
Yeah. My sister insisted that I wash her clean after the attack. We had this very intimate moment together in the bathtub. I was fully clothed, and I took a washcloth, and I gently cleaned the marks on her back that her assailant had left with his teeth. And I'll never forget that moment, and I also think it was a gift that my sister gave me to allow me into the room with her that way. It was truly the only moment I felt during that entire week where I knew that I was being helpful and loving in a way that she needed.
I'm speaking with Krista Parravani. Her new book is a memoir. It's called Her, and it's out this week. She's really spiraling into the drug addiction that eventually steals her life. After she's defended her MFA, she's in your bathroom getting high, shooting up, right?
She was.
And that's where you say, I don't want to see you till you're in rehab.
Yeah, I thought that would do it. I thought maybe finally if I put my foot down and said, you need to get help, that she would go get it. Because her worst fear was that I was no longer going to be with her. To be linked as twins, leaving the bond is something that feels like an act of infidelity. And I felt incredibly guilty.
After her death, what happens to you? You stumble yourself, I mean, badly, never as dark as your sister. But your life begins to really spin out of control.
It did. I gave up in a lot of ways. I think that people who are facing the prospect of losing their loved ones to an addiction are always preparing themselves for the death of that person, rehearsing, if you will, their feelings before it happens. But when I learned
Because there's so much narcissism in an addiction. Can't get through.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much narcissism in addiction. And in twinship, you're seeing yourself and that person, and they're seeing themselves and you the whole time. And it's this vicious circle of a built-in narcissism in twinship anyway. So when the addiction came in, there was absolutely no room left for me. And sometimes I thought, maybe it will be easier for me when she dies. But of course, I learned very quickly after she died that that was not true. And I wasn't prepared for looking in the mirror, for example, and seeing my sister staring back at me. Our whole lives being twins, I had wanted to differentiate myself from her. But once she died, there was no way for me to see myself without seeing her. And it wasn't always that dark. For example, when I laughed, I could hear her. And that was a nice way of having her visit.
You also read at her funeral a prayer that had been at her wedding, and it's the Sufi prayer. It says, I offer you peace, I offer you joy, I offer you friendship, and it ends, I honor that source in you. And I would say you have honored it in yourself as well.
Thank you.
Krista Parivani's new memoir is called Her. She joined us here in our studio in New York. Krista, it's been a great pleasure and honor.
Thank you.